Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 through 13. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you, for this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we are comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live. If you stand firm in the Lord, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith, now may we, our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord, direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for a chance just to gather as your people. God, we just pray that your spirit will just come and guide this time. Lord, Holy Spirit, will you just show us your way, show us your truth. Lord, we open our hearts and our ears and our minds to what you have to share with us today. In your name we pray, amen. As I was reading this scripture, the very first thing obviously jumps out at you is faith and love, right? Paul talks about what Timothy comes back to share with him is their faith and their love. And I was thinking about this faith, right? We know the verse, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. I don't know who it was, but I remember hearing someone say, faith is trusting in something you cannot explicitly prove. And I think in today's age, we really just need to prove everything. You know, I don't know about you, but it's always about we have to prove. I don't watch The Big Bang Theory, that TV show, but I watch clips, right? And so, like, if you ever on Facebook or if you are on certain things, you can, there's little clips for The Big Bang Theory. And so Sheldon, who is one of the main actors, is always like, you got to prove something. And his mom is like this Texan, super Christian, I guess is what you'd call her, right? Everything for her is about Jesus. And so whenever he's with his mom, it's always like, Jesus? Like, oh, and she's like, in Texas, we pray. And she's like, I don't know what you sinners do in California, right? But that's just kind of this personality. And so you have this dynamic of Sheldon who needs to prove everything and needs proof and proof and proof. And then you have his mom who's just, everything is about Jesus. Now, I don't like endorse her character fully because she's a little quirky, okay? But there's this idea here that we have that we need to prove everything. But in our faith, now I'm not talking about proving something scripturally, as in like this is who God is according to scripture. That's a little different. But I'm talking about our ultimate belief in God. That ultimate belief that honestly, we can't prove. You know, I think a lot of people think we can come to a place where we can prove it, and we can intellectually debate it, we can do all of that. But when it comes down to it, for someone to trust and believe in Jesus, it's going to be based on faith, which means they can't fully prove it to somebody else. To them, it may be fully clear, but to somebody else, it might not, because there's that faith aspect, there's that God wants you to believe in him even if you can't fully understand, right? If you think about Job, right? If I were Job, I don't know. Like, it would be really hard to fault him if he had completely turned his back on God with everything that happened to him. But in the end, through that whole grieving and mourning process and the frustration and everything he went through, he still held strong to God. And the second part is here, love. Right? He says, Paul says, I heard about your faith. I heard about your love. You know, in the Bible, we're not called to like people. We're called to love people. Right? There is a difference. We don't have to like everybody and everything they do, but we are called to love others. We're called to love people and we're called to love God. Right? And if you basically take the if you take the Ten Commandments and split them in two, we've heard this before, right? Basically, you can divide it. The first four are love God. The second six are love others. And so throughout Scripture, we continually hear about the importance of love. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. 1 John 4:20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Right? It's such a beautiful testimony that Timothy brings back to Paul, that these people love. Right? They're being persecuted. They're being told that what they believe is wrong. They're not living this cushy life. And yet, for some reason, Timothy describes them with their love. I was reading, I think it might have been like a LinkedIn article, but it was basically this father whose son passed away in his sleep. The son was like 8 years old, was a twin, and he was basically going through, and I think this is recent, and basically the father's going through the grieving process. And one of the final thoughts he has is like, I don't know if I'm going to go back to work. Like, he started this big startup. He just sold it out. They moved all around the world for the dad's business, you know? So he was this guy, and he was in a meeting, basically. I don't know if he was prideful when he was saying this, but he's like, I haven't taken a full week off. And he couldn't remember, right, from work. Like, he was talking how passionate about work is. And in that moment, he gets a call from his wife saying their son passed away in his sleep. And it was a rare condition that, I mean, there's nothing they could have done about it. But he wraps it up saying, talking about, am I coming back to work? He's like, I don't know. But he said, work is love made visible. And I was thinking about that. Work is love made visible. How you work, what you work for, where you put your energy and your time, that demonstrates your love. It's not just the amount of time, but how you do that work. And I'm thinking more in the terms of church work. Not like me, because I get paid from church. But like when you serve for God, for the bigger kingdom. Not just in this building, but when you're at your home. Or when you are serving in local outreach. Or wherever it may be. How are you showing love? How does it look? Do people see you and see something is different? Right? We hear this all the time. But I think maybe we keep hearing it because we haven't really connected with it, everybody. But work is love made visible. What you're passionate about shows your love. And so I think one of the things we need to reflect on in our lives is, what are we doing? What are we working for? You know, maybe you are a teacher, or maybe, well, if you're a teacher and you're here, I want to know where you're working, because usually you're at work by now. But you might be listening. Maybe you're a mom that stays home or a dad that stays home. You know, it works both ways. Maybe you're a pastor, or maybe you are a banker. I don't know what all of your jobs are. But how, even in that occupation, are you showing people? You know, do you leave work so you can spend time with your family? Or do people notice that you're at work more than you're with your family? And I think it's a true demonstration of love when you are able to leave your job and say, no, it's time for me to go home. It's time for me to put priorities in a place. You know, I'm not saying about being lazy at work. That's not what I'm saying. But where is your love? How is that being shown? You know, even your ministry should never overweigh your family. You know, even what you're doing to serve God, right? God tells us, take care of your home. He doesn't say abandon your home for his work. If you have children, if you have spouses, you need to also be home and present with them, right? Your kids will notice. My mom never took jobs that we couldn't go to. Every job she's ever had was a job that her kids could come with her to. She first did daycare in the home, so obviously it was in our house, so we were home. And then she started working at a church, and she did other jobs too to make ends meet. But every job she ever took was that we could go with her. As a single parent, that was her priority, right? And though, even though I was probably the most against it, I hated that I went to work with her. and I made myself very known, and everyone knew it. I hated it. But looking back on it, I understood what she was doing. She wanted to be with us, but she also wanted to show us what it meant to be provided for. You know, also as we read through this passage, I noticed something about Paul is that, you know, Paul was also in a bad place, right? If you look back, not he necessarily his faith, but he himself talks about how Satan is stopping. Right? And so, I mean, I can't say he was in a spiritually bad place. So I want to be careful with that. I don't feel like he was in a spiritually bad place. But he was in a physically oppressed way because he couldn't get to where he wanted to go, right? And when he gets this news of their faith and their love, he's encouraged. And I was reflecting, and this is maybe more personal than what I feel for people, but I was like, now maybe if I'm in a good spiritual place, even though things around me are not great, I would be more like Paul. But I was thinking about if I'm not in a good place spiritually, and I hear of somebody else's goodness, like what's going on in their life, how they're growing, I tend to get more jealous than I get, yay for you, right? Like, even though on the outside, I'm like, yay, let me clap my hands. Praise God. He's moving in your life, right? I tend to be more like, God, why is it them and not me, right? Why did they, actually, I've never had this one, but why did they get a promotion and I did not, right? Why, actually, when my last job, when my boss was clearly trying to get me to think about moving into administration, like, because in her mind, a teacher, you know, that's how you climb the ladder. I was like, no, thank you. I don't want that, right? I was very content being where I was. But how do we become able to rejoice in other people? You know, how are we able to not reflect and see their spiritual prosperity or God blessing them in ways, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's you name it? How do we come to a place where we can rejoice, where we can see and not struggle internally? That we cannot, where we won't just be stuck thinking, why them and not me? I don't have an answer for it, except for that we need to go back to God. You know, we need to go back to God, that we need to humble ourselves. You know, that God may have something different in store for you. Like, you think this is going to be good and this is going to bring greatness to your life. And God's like, no, hold on. You know, maybe not. You know, maybe that's not what actually is going to be good for you. And we need to really check our hearts. You know, and if you're in this moment struggling with that, maybe it's something today you need to bring before God that he can show you what is the root to why you become jealous when other people are flourishing, when other people have good things. What is it that's going deeper? Because I really think there's a deeper root to it, right? There's something more. And we can be like, well, yeah, because they have something. But I think spiritually there's always something here. But here you see Paul, even though he feels the spiritual block from Satan, he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He's happy, right? And I also thought of, and this is not explicit in here, but, you know, God used this time, even though Paul clearly shows and says that it's Satan who's blocking him, God found another way to bring encouragement to this church, right? Through Timothy. And I was thinking about it like, this Paul's not being able to make it there was a growth opportunity for Timothy. It was a time where Timothy would be able to go and share God's word with people and grow in his ministry. You know, and sometimes, even though it's hard, maybe the reason why, when you've gone through the whole thing, like, is it Satan? Is it my sin? Is it this? And it's just a block, right? Maybe it's God giving someone else an opportunity as well to grow, right? And I want to be careful because, you know, Paul makes it very clear in this case it's Satan, okay? That it's Satan blocking him. But it made me start to process and think down that, you know, your mind starts going places. And so when we see someone else being able to share and minister to somebody and we were, oh, I wish it was me, maybe it's not your time yet, or maybe it's just their time to grow. You know, another thing I see here is, what is it that we rejoice in? What is it that we actually put our praise into? Think about it. Paul rejoiced in their spiritual growth. What do we rejoice and praise God for? Though I think we should praise God for our jobs and praise God for, you know, the blessings physically that he gives us, right? Material things he gives us. Are we equally rejoiced when we get that raise or when we get that bonus or we are able to buy a house as we are when someone grows spiritually? I was thinking about when I got tongues, my personal prayer language. And I remember getting it. It was actually when we were at Winglock Street, and I don't remember the context. I just remember, I think it was during either response or worship. We were singing. And I remember for a split second, I said, God, if tongues is real, then okay. And then something came out of my mouth, and I shut my mouth, and I went, what just happened? And then the following week, Pastor Dom, he was a guest speaker, he did this altar call for people. If they wanted to receive tongues, they could come forward. In my head, I'm like, okay, if what happened last week was real, God, prove it to me, right? So I came forward, and I was getting prayed, and then I started to speak in tongues. And my friend was up there praying for me, right? And it made me really awkward, because all of a sudden, as I started speaking in tongues, she started jumping and, like, dancing, and, like, she got it. And it made me, because I didn't want attention. But what I remembered was her excitement at my spiritual growth. And that continued on for years with her. You know, I mean, I'm not really friends with her anymore, but I remember for a period of time, every time I grew, she jumped for joy. She was super excited, right? Whether it was I was willing to share a testimony or I was willing to join a ministry or become a house church, whatever it was. You know, and I was thinking, I feel like in that moment in my life, she was kind of like a Paul to me, where she was so excited every time I grew spiritually. I was like self-reflecting. I was like, this is kind of like me negatively looking at myself, or maybe I'm being encouraged. Do I do the same for other people? You know, like it's a split second of excitement and then I go about my day. But with her, it was just like she kept talking about these things, right? For weeks and months and years later, she'd bring it back. Like, do you remember when? Do you remember how God did this in your life? And I think we need to have more of that excitement, more of that excitement for the body. You know, when one part of our body grows, right? The body of Christ grows, we all actually are blessed. Whether we can see it or not, we're all being blessed. And I feel God is calling us to really walk in celebration for others. And the last thing, as I have Matthew come up, is Paul kept praying. You know, Paul could have stopped praying, be like, all right, that church is good. That's cool. You know, Timothy got the message to them. Things are going great. I can show my attention other places. But Paul really felt the conviction to get to them. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes in our life, you know, we talked about Pastor Bob Sorge talked about how what gets in our way of prayer is discouragement. But sometimes I think also what gets in our way of prayer is when things start going good and then we don't realize how much more God has in store for us. Right? We start just staying in, things are good, things are okay. And I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily you getting a bigger job. I'm talking spiritually what God is calling you to. You know, and we could just stop and pause and that be it. We're like, oh, things are good, let me move on. But Paul kept praying. Paul realized that this church needed more, right? They needed more of God's love. They needed more faith, right? That whole area of scripture ends with that you may have more love, right? That you have more, right? And I think God has so much more in store for us than we even can possibly imagine, right? It's not necessarily what looks more to the world, but God wants us to have spiritual prosperity. He wants us to grow in Him. And so this morning, I just really want you to think about where you find your encouragement. Where do you find your praise? Like when you praise God. You know, for me, it's simple. If a taxi pulls up very quickly, I'm very quick to say, thank you, God. Right? But that's not necessarily what I think God is calling us this morning. Are we praising God in spiritual prosperity, our own and others? You know, and if you're lacking spiritual prosperity, really go to God and ask Him, what's going on that's stopping and blocking this morning? morning, let's just spend some time thanking God for those around us and their growth. Let's really just, you know, thank God for the people around us and how God is moving in them and changing them. So let's just think of one or two people for how, what God is doing, and let's just praise God for it. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's just really contend for their physical healing. Let's just pray pray for protection for their spiritual walk. And let's just pray for those who are walking this journey with them. Pray for those who are connected with our community, but yet don't know God yet, and are battling various illnesses. Let's really just pray for them to come to know God. Let's pray that their eyes will be able to see who God is, their heart will know. And let's just pray that God will bring physical healing to them as well as spiritual. Pray for those who are suffering from other various illnesses. Let's just pray that God will just, God will heal their body. Let's also just continue to intercede for their faith to continue to grow through during this time. Pray for those who are seeking and looking for jobs. Let's pray for God just to bring them to the right place, but also for provision in this season of waiting. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up SP Singapore, Spin, Spill, and SP New York. Let's really pray for the leaders, P. Sam Kim, P. Salamat, Ernie, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's just really pray that God will minister through these leaders, but also to these leaders. Let's pray for continued growth spiritually and in numbers. And let's just pray that God will just really, people will encounter God in each of these places. Let's lift up our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's lift up the ministry leaders, and let's also lift up those who are teaching and serving in these ministries. Let's just pray for wisdom and discernment from God to really speak His truth into their lives at a level that they can understand and that they can really, grow in. And so let's also lift up the kids, the youth. Let's lift up the college kids. Let's pray that God will really continue to grow in them and that they will have a faith built on a solid foundation. Pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP, The Well, and River, led by Matt and Rachel. Let's continually lift up Matt and Rachel as they spearhead these teams. Let's pray that God will bring protection around them. Let's just lift up that for true deliverance to take place in our church and physical healing. And let's be a place, let's also just pray that we'll be a place of prayer. Let's lift up our Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homies. Let's pray for those who are going out to serve. Let's pray for those who they encounter that they'll have hearts open to God. And let's just pray for more people to join these ministries.